You're listening to The Course Creator Show, the podcast all about building your online course business. We talk about marketing strategy, making money, and creating a business with impact that gives you freedom and lights you up. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, a Canadian mom of two, a speaker, a real estate investor, a reality TV lover, and an online business strategist who has helped thousands of entrepreneurs create, launch, and scale their digital course businesses. Let's dive into this episode. All right. Hey there. Welcome back to another episode of The Course Creator Show. So excited you're here. I am sitting here recording. It is middle of February. I am in the south of France in Aix-en-Provence, my new town where we live. If you've been following me for a while, you'll know we moved here in August of 2023 for a year of living abroad in France. And I've got to tell you, the weather is amazing. And I know this is so boring to talk about the weather, you guys, but when you are like a Canadian from Ontario who is used to like, frankly, like bitterly cold winters with a lot of, I don't know, snow and slush, and Ottawa's like relatively sunny, but still like the gray can take over. I am living right now in like the sunniest, it feels like the sunniest spot in the world. Like Aix-en-Provence, just, it feels like there's never a gray day. It barely rains. It was cold for maybe 2 weeks. And when I say cold, like not that cold. And yeah, I mean, we're like, it's basically sandal weather and it's February. So I don't know, life feels upside down in the best way. And it feels nuts to be like not even into March and we're barely even wearing jackets anymore. So I don't know what it's going to be like when we go back to Canada next year. I will say, like, I don't hate winter. Like, there's a lot of things about winter that I love. And certainly my kids, like, love a lot of stuff about winter, too. But it's been a nice break. It has been a nice break this year, I gotta say. The patio life is pretty good here. All right, so let's dive into what we're really going to be talking about today. So I want to talk about what you really need to know when it comes to really building a successful online course business today. Like, what matters now more than anything else? And here's the thing, like, we are in what feels like a new era in the online course space, right? We know this, that it is crowded as anything. It is busier and noisier than it has ever been, right? In 2023, when AI really came on the scene, you can see the like ripple effect of that now starting to really take hold in terms of there being so much more competition out there, lots more noise on social media. There's just like more posts, more content. There are more people with offers out there than ever before. And I think what's happening in a lot of markets, not all segments of the market, but in lots of industries, because we are seeing more offers and more online courses in all of these different spaces, what happens is like the market gets more sophisticated, right? Buyers become savvier. They become more aware of their options, right? And therefore more discerning in their purchasing decisions. So what does that mean for you as someone who is either the course creator or thinking about launching a course in your niche? Well, what it means is like, if you're like in the pool, the same pool as everyone else in terms of your competition, and you're doing the same things that everyone else is doing, it's going to be incredibly hard to compete, right? What you really want to think about doing is how can you create your own lane, right? And that's what I want to talk about in today's episode. So let's also just clarify, like, and be really clear, the online course space is still thriving. Like, I see posts sometimes of people being like, courses are dead, you have to do this other thing, right? And that's just like clickbait marketing. You know, like I believe that lots of people have lots of other great business models. There's nothing wrong with having a different business model. But the online course business model has not died, okay? There are people out there absolutely crushing it. I see my students and our clients all the time growing their businesses as course creators. So there is still room in this game for you, whether you have already launched a course into the world or you're thinking about it. there is space for you at this table, okay? So let's talk today about the five things that you really need to know in order to make it work in today's like more crowded marketplace, okay? Number one, I've talked about this before, you need to solve one clear problem with your course, all right? That problem ideally needs to be something that is like a significant pain point for people, right? Like it has to be, you need to solve a real problem that people are experiencing. They're not going to pay for something that is not really a real problem in their life that they want to solve, right? That's like the more we can get to like a need to have versus a nice to have, the easier it is to sell our programs. And so we know, like research has shown us, that the three main categories where we as humans are more likely to want to improve and will therefore spend money to improve these three categories are in health, wealth, and relationships. So if your course is somewhere in those three umbrella categories, and when you think about it, those are three very large, distinct industries, right? If you're somewhere in those categories, great, check mark, right? You already know that you're like fairly well placed to be able to sell a higher, you know, monetary value program because people are willing to spend money in those categories. They're the things that matter to us the most, right? In terms of talking about this like problem that you need to solve, your course needs to be as clear and as targeted and as obvious as possible. When I get students or people coming to me and they've tried to launch a course and it just hasn't worked, sometimes it's a traffic issue. Sometimes though, it's just that their program is vague. It's wishy-washy. It is so broad. And this is what happens. People think, oh, I want to launch a course about whatever the topic is, right? And then they think about all the things that they know about that topic and they go and they create a program around it. And it is giant. And it is not concise, it is not targeted, and we really need to work at like narrowing that definition of what the promise of the program is. So, all right, let me give an example of sort of like a wishy-washy program versus a much more specific one. So let's say someone comes to the market with a program around how to improve your health, like how to improve women's health, or even it could be specifically tailored to a demographic, like how to improve your health during menopause. Like, okay, that's fine. It's still incredibly broad though, right? And we're not really tackling one specific problem. So let's say instead someone came to the market with a program around, you know, a course for people specifically who are experiencing gut health problems because they have SIBO, which is like an actual like gut health disorder, or people who are struggling with overwhelming fatigue, or a course for people with fibromyalgia. Like immediately, those are much more specific courses, right, than just a generalized women's health program. So you see how we want to shift into a much more tailored, nuanced and targeted problem that we're solving in our course. So whatever your niche or industry is, take that lens to your topic and ask yourself, what is that one really specific problem that my program aims to solve? And write it out in like a sentence or two. You should be able to do that with extreme clarity. And if you can't, it probably means you have to kind of go back and do some refining. All right, so that's number one. The second thing you really need to be clear on is your USP, your unique selling proposition. So what does that mean? Okay, yes, you need to be exceptional at articulating like the problem that you solve. But to go deeper than that, you really need to show your potential buyers why your particular way of solving that problem is different, unique, what makes it potentially like better suited for them than the other things that they might have already tried or the other things that they're looking at trying to solve that problem. So what is it that makes your course stand out? What is it that makes your course method different? And this is why sometimes you'll see people when they're launching courses, they talk about a method or an approach or a framework that they've developed to solve that problem. That's why they're doing that, because this really gets into their unique selling proposition, their unique way of solving the problem that's going to resonate with a certain demographic within their target audience, who are their ideal students, right? So part of this, like part of the unique thing about being a course creator, is that your personal brand, in a sense, is an element of what makes your program unique. Like you bringing your personal brand to the table with your values and even just like your style, the way you teach, the way you show up, everything about that inherently embeds a uniqueness to your offer. Okay, so that's like kind of a whole other conversation we could have, is like you and your personal brand. Like, how can you make sure that you really stand out in the sea of your industry and really like lean into what makes you you, what makes you different, bring all of that to the table? It doesn't mean you have to share your whole life, right? But you can absolutely deeply integrate things into your personal brand that are going to be so unique to you. And that's going to bring your ideal students and attract them in with ease. Okay. So that's kind of another topic for another day. But back to this like unique selling proposition, you really need to have this clearly defined for yourself. So if you were to say, okay, Gemma, I'm going to launch a program, you know, to show people how to invest in the stock market, I'm going to come back to you and say like, well, what makes your method of stock market investing different? What makes your method a better approach for this audience? Like, why you? And you need to be able to answer that. And if you can't answer it, again, it probably means that you haven't done that work of understanding your own like method or strategy. And you need to do, you need to, in order to be able to articulate that, right, in your marketing. So the best, like in my experience, after working with thousands of course creators in my programs, I can pretty confidently tell you like the best course creators out there are people who are teaching things that they have done for themselves, right? So they have like figured out something. Maybe sometimes they're like a natural at it, but they've figured out this thing in their own lives. They've solved this own problem. They've then gone on to usually like help clients do it in a one-on-one capacity so that we have like proof of results, not just for one person, but like there's repeatable proof that this works. And then they've gone on to launch it as a bigger course, right? As like a one-to-many offer. So have a clear USP, integrate your personal voice, your values, your brand, everything into your course. People buy from people. This piece is really important. So that's number two. The third thing we really want to make sure we're doing in order to stand out in the sea of online courses is make it really clear what the financial impact is of implementing your program. So how can you demonstrate the financial, the monetary value of someone coming into your program and implementing and getting that result? So sure, sometimes this is really obvious, especially in the business and marketing world, right? Like do this thing and it will grow your sales, or do this thing and it will allow you to get more leads, which in turn means more sales, right? Those can be very easily articulated when we're talking about what is the ROI of taking a program. However, that doesn't mean that you can't articulate this in so many other industries as well. So let's go back to like our health example. Let's say you are launching a course or something around gut health, okay? How can you demonstrate the financial impact of taking that program and implementing it? Well, you can clearly talk about and demonstrate on the sales page or in your marketing materials how your students will save on going and seeing 1,001 like naturopaths or specialists to try and like figure out their gut health issues. You can talk about how they're going to save on supplements by not buying, you know, X number of different supplements every month at the like health store, because you're going to give them you're going to help them solve the problem, but B, you'll give them like a much more targeted, nuanced like say, list of supplements that they should be taking. So like just this idea of saving on specialists and appointments and supplements, you have articulated the financial impact of taking your program, right? And suddenly the $500 or $1,000 or $2,000 that this program is costing, when you shift it into that perspective, it becomes, the value proposition is really clear, right? Beyond the value proposition of just like improving their health and getting out of like actual physical pain with their gut, which is obviously a big part of it too. Same thing with like, let's say you're launching a program on relationships, right? Like, let's say that's your space. Well, again, can you talk about how by taking and implementing your program, sure, there's like the value of improving whatever that relationship is that we're talking about, which has huge inherent value in and of itself. But then you can also layer in a financial piece of, again, are they then going to be able to save on therapy costs, save on, you know, buying the like 17 like relationship books that they're ordering off of Amazon every month in a desperate attempt to fix what's going on in their personal lives? Or even, I mean, this might be, feels like a little bit of a stretch, but even like divorce is really expensive, right? And so if you can like talk about how you are going to help them navigate the issues that they're having in their relationship and save the relationship, it also has a financial impact, right? So again, okay, let's talk about another one, parenting, right? Like let's say we're talking about a parenting course. So let's say it's specific to like parents with children with ADHD. We're helping them in some capacity. Again, that's another example where there's a lot of like specialist appointments or things that they might be trying that are having a big financial impact on their life. And you can position your program as being like a really valuable option for them that will save them in the long run. So again, we want hyper-specific problem, hyper-specific results. People pay for that result, right? If we can be, again, in the health, wealth, and relationships overall categories, this is a good thing. This is where people spend the majority of their money because they value those things. And if we can demonstrate a financial impact and demonstrate the return on investment that people are going to get through our program. And again, yes, that investment can be money. I think it's like, it's really important to make that argument in our marketing. Also, though, you're going to also make the argument of like, improved health, improved relationships, and how those things can obviously have huge intrinsic, like internal value as well, right? So it's not that we're just trying to make the financial argument, but the financial argument can really be helpful in closing sales. All right. Number four, the fourth thing I want you to be aware of is your target audience. Okay. You need to, and this is going to sound maybe a little crass, but you need to target an audience for, in terms of like, who are your ideal students? They need to have money, okay? And this does not mean that you need to target like a wealthy or super rich, you know, demographic. If you are, cool, but you don't have to. However, if you're trying to sell a program at a mid or even getting up into like the higher ticket price points, you obviously do need to target an ideal audience in some kind of higher income bracket or demographic, right? If you are targeting, let's say, job hunters, or you're targeting college students, or you are targeting, you know, DIY home decorators, like all of those target audiences tend to be people with not necessarily a lot of discretionary money to spend, right? Often DIY home decorators, like I was a DIY home decorator. I mean, I still am sometimes, but like when I was really early in having purchased my home and I was trying to make it look nice and stuff, I was doing things on the absolute most budget way I could, right? Like I was like getting furniture from the side of the road and like painting it and making it over and making it look nice for my house. Like I would not be spending, you know, $500 on a course about how to decorate my home. Like that just would not have ever been within my budget, right? Same thing if I'm like a college, like fresh out of college, like job hunter, I have no money to spend on some $2,000 program that's going to help me land at my dream job. I'm out there like pounding the pavement, just trying to get my foot in the door, right? So if you're like targeting one of these demographics, and those are just a couple of examples, but if you're targeting some of these demographics that really don't have any discretionary money to spend on a program, it is going to be an uphill battle for you to actually turn that into a business that's going to make you a lot of money, right? Or make you like the money you're wanting to make. So I'm not saying that you can't at all sell something to, let's say, a demographic that doesn't have as much discretionary money to spend, but maybe you have tiers within your business, right? And maybe you do have an option that's more accessible and you can have that option out there, but then you have these more higher end options for a demographic that has the finances to spend on a program like that, right? The other piece here is that you want your target audience to ideally be what marketers call like solution aware. That basically just means you really want to go after, like, you want to be speaking to the audience who already know they want to solve that problem. And they're just kind of sussing out the options of like, okay, what's going to be the best fit for me? And then you come in, you talk about how great your course is, and they vibe with you and they purchase your offer, right? We don't want to go to the people who are so far away from the buying decision that it's going to take so much education and awareness for them to get to a buying place. Does that make sense? Like, so let's talk about an example. For me, in my business, right? I would prefer, like, let's say I'm trying to sell my program Course Creator School, which is for people who are looking to create and launch their first program successfully. I want to talk to entrepreneurs who already know that launching a course is their next move in their business, right? They already know that that's something that they're about to do. And they already know the benefits of running like an online course-based business. They understand why that's really like what the benefits are of running that kind of business model. And now they're just looking for the best fit on who's the mentor who's going to like teach them how to get there. Those are the people I want to be talking to. I don't want to be talking to the people who don't even know online courses are a thing, or I need to like educate them on why launching a course is a great idea. I don't want to talk to those people. They're way too early, right? And they're going to be really far from making the buying decision. It's going to take a lot more time. It's going to take a lot more touch points from me in order to get them ready to purchase. So if I can be really clear with my content and talk to the people who already are solution aware, same thing goes if I was trying to sell the Passive Project, which is kind of my next tier program for experienced and established course creators. I want to talk to people who already know they want an evergreen funnel. Like, they already know that they want to move away from launch to launch. They're ready to automate more stuff. Those are the people I want to talk to because they're much closer to the buying decision, right? So let me give you like another example that's not my particular business. Let's say I teach about finance and I teach about like investing. And I don't know, I teach about like stock market investing, okay? I want to target people who have money, who are right now ready and looking to get going in the stock market and don't know where to start, but they're like, they know that they want to invest in like stocks and, you know, index funds and bonds and whatever. Those are the people I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to people who are way earlier on who are debating between investing in real estate. Maybe they should do crypto. They're not sure about the stock market, or someone who's never even thought about investing at all, right? Who maybe is so far away from like that place in their life. They're way too early in the journey and they're going to need a lot more educational content to get them ready to purchase my course. So as you grow your business and your audience and all that kind of stuff, sure, then you can layer in maybe more of these like educational pieces that are earlier on in the journey. But by and large, if you want to really be able to like attract in the ideal people who are going to be turned into students quickly, you want to target those more solution aware audience members. Does that make sense? All right. The fifth thing that I want to talk about that will allow you to stand out in the sea of like everything that's going on in the online course world today. We touched on it a little bit, but it is doing you. Okay. I can't tell you how many people I talk to who like, you know, they followed a certain method of someone that they were watching online, or they tried to learn all these things and implement all these different things. And you know, half of them just didn't work for them, not because the method doesn't work, but because it wasn't aligned with them, their skill sets, and how they want to run their business. So I really encourage you to understand yourself enough to know what your skill sets are, what you really enjoy doing, thinking critically about how you want to show up in your business, what the bandwidth looks like for you as, you know, the founder of your company, what your, even that comes down to like the number of hours you have to put in per week, right? All of those things make a real impact on the decisions you're making as the CEO on where your priorities need to be. So if you are like an amazing writer, write essays on your website and use those as like the vehicle for your growth, right? If you are like dope at doing reels, go all in on Instagram. If you're an incredible speaker, you should be having like a podcast or go take yourself on a podcast tour, get yourself onto stages, right? If you love to like organize and be kind of a connector, you should be leaning into summits or making like those types of online events like your thing as, you know, a big lead gen opportunity. You do not need to do all of those things, okay? And if you're watching people who seem to be doing all of those things, they're probably just much further along in their business journey and they have a team behind them. So in particular, when you're like starting out or you're still in that like solopreneur stage of your business, I want you to focus and lean in on just the things that you know you do well and stay in your lane, make them yours and stand out from the competition by doing that and putting the you like all over it, okay? So those are really the five things that you need to think about in this crowded world of like online courses these days. I promise you, if you lean into these things, you will be able to, it's not about like hacks and little strategies and tips. And there's not like one piece of secret sauce here to really having a successful online course business. It comes down to a, like these things working together and articulating like your message and your the proposition of what you offer to these potential students really effectively. And these are all going to get better over time. The more you talk about your offer, the more you put content out there, the more you just work on and in your business, all of these things become easier. So let me recap those five things. Number one was solving one real pressing pain point or pressing problem for your audience in your course. Number two was your USP, having a very specific, like understanding what your unique selling proposition is that you're teaching in your program. The third thing is demonstrating, being able to demonstrate, sure, the impact of your course, but even more so, can you demonstrate the financial ROI of a student taking your course? That is really going to allow you to stand out and close more sales. The fourth thing is really getting clear on your target audience, making sure that you are speaking to an audience that does have the finances to spend on things like online courses and group programs. And secondly, are solution aware, right? They're like already getting close to making that buying decision. Those are the people that you want to be talking to with your content. And then the fifth thing is leaning all the way in on you. What makes you unique? What are your skills and your strengths? And making sure that you are building your business around those and not just doing what everyone else is doing because you think you need to do it. All right, that is a wrap on how to stand out in the online course world today in this crowded market. I hope that's been helpful. Let me know what is the biggest takeaway you are taking from this episode, something that maybe shifted for you, how you're going to like implement this. I would love to hear from you. Send me a DM at gemma.bonhamcarter. Leave a rating or review of the podcast. That does me a huge solid. And that is it for this one. I'll see you in the next episode. That's a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to launch your first course, sign up for our free class in the show notes to learn my method on how to do it successfully and unlock an invite into our signature program, Course Creator School. Or if you've already launched a course and you're ready to scale and go evergreen, it is time to join us inside of the Passive Project, my membership community for experienced course creators. Head to gemmabonhamcarter.com/apply to submit an application. If you enjoyed this episode, leave me a rating or review or tag me over on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter. I would love to hear from you. I'll see you next time on The Course Creator Show.